Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Cindy Cherry, also known as Don Cherry's daughter.
Somebody's got a license plate of yours, doesn't it?
Oh, don't get me going
Why?
On that.
Tell about the license plate.
In Mississauga, Port Credit. You'll never believe it. There is a Mini Cooper, a beige Mini Cooper, and their license plate. This, I should put the APB out or whatever they say. It is not my car. And it has C, and it has a space, Cherry. And I can't believe it. Now, I have nothing against Mini Coopers and all that, but the problem is, should I say what the real problem is?
No, don't. I just heard about Cherry.
Cherry.
Yeah. You know, everybody has their
and
name.
And everyone's I must have about four friends that have sent me pictures of this car saying, hey, did you get a new car?
We won't
car?
Go any further, okay?
Okay, we all won't right, get okay. any car.
All right.
Another.
All right.
Yes, so I'm here with my brother Tim, my dad, and my son, Dell, who is the brains behind the operation, does all the great editing, and Don Cherry's podcast.
He's got a Bull Terrier a t-shirt on. It says A.
Yes. It's his favorite t-shirt. And as a mother, I'd said,
he wears it all the time.
Oh, my goodness. I just want $1 million that you were going to comment about this t-shirt that I constantly wear. But I know you
must
men.
Must feel good.
Well, you men, you all
and
have your favorite.
And Tim is wearing Minnesota North Stars 1991. And I remember after they got beat out, And the next morning they get beat out. They were on sale.
The Stanley Cup champs. They were on sale because did it go Game 7 or was
I
like?
I don't think it went.
We have us Cherries have very old T-shirts. How about the one I still have that has Cherry Mash on it?
That
was from
Colorado.
Colorado days.
And the origins of that Cherry Mash was because the Broncos were called the Orange Crush. Cherry Mash was a chocolate bar.
Oh yeah,
and it was kind of like it was like a chunky bar. Remember the chunky bar?
Oh,
you don't get them up in Canada, but in the States they have the chunky bar. It was kind of a chunky bar with a cherry, in the middle. So
I remember, you know, it just comes to me now that I remember Ray Miron, spelled with an O. Anyhow, he came to me, and the PR guy came to me. And they said, now, on the program, we're going to put about all pictures of you in the back. It was about 30 pictures of me in the back. I said, holy smokes. Everybody's going to think I'm an evil. Oh, no, every day. We're paying you money. You know, so, okay. So when they fired me, they said that I insisted that I put out my picture in the back. Anyhow, I bought that Minnesota, and that's the last one. It's brand new, eh, Tim?
Yeah, it's brand new. It's nice. I like that thicker T-shirt, right?
It washes well. Well, I certainly get a lot out of my introductions, don't I? Mm. 5 minutes into it, and I'm still introducing the
show. How about
the
time I bought all those on Yonge Street? I still have about three left, those T-shirts, and you picked me up in the Monte Carlo,
yes.
74 Monte Carlo.
Yeah, but they were huge. They were like 4XL, and you wear them as a nightgown.
Yeah, I wear them as nightgowns. I used to wear a nightgown before. Anyhow, and I'll tell you one more story about T-shirts. Is that when Richard and I, my brother, my mom must have found some burgundy T-shirts that on sale or something.
I remember her saying they were on sale at S&R in Kingston.
Oh.
The people living in Kingston would remember the good old S&R. It's a historical building right on Ontario Street.
Yeah, it's a different one.
Remember they wanted to put the Hockey Hall of Fame there.
And the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Would have been perfect.
And that Hockey Hall of Fame, we'll talk about that someday, the Amateur Hockey Hall of Fame. No, it was a professional.
It's called the Original Hockey Hall of Fame because that was the Original Hockey Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it was.
And you did promo for them to try to get them to put the Hockey Hall of Fame down
there? No, they never will. They could. Imagine if they had to put it, and the people that owned the building said they'd give a floor.
Oh, it was unbelievable. Yes.
Yeah, they were going to give a floor.
Right around the corner from the...
Well, it's right across.
From the Rock where the Frontenacs play.
Yeah.
It would have been perfect. Everyone has something to do and the whole deal.
And there was a parking lot there. You'd walk up.
It was great.
But the city of Kingston...
In their wisdom
said no.
No.
They thought they'd have to support them or something like that. They would have made money.
Oh, they made hundreds.
Anyhow... How did we get into that? I don't know how we get into that, but let's talk
T-shirts, about... T-shirts.
Oh, things. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Ma, we had those T-shirts, and Ma used to wash them. And you could tell a cherry coming a mile away with those T-shirts. And I see in the movies now, they have T-shirts that they wash and wash. They look, you know, they look, well, look like Dells washed,
yes,
all the time.
Yes. They're
Anyhow,
faded.
Yours will look like that pretty soon. They'll never wear out, that Minnesota.
Yeah, I know. People look at it and like, what are you, 1991 Minnesota? Who are they playing? Minnesota and.
Because usually
it's
that
got
stuff.
A Stanley Cup on it, too.
Yeah.
It's very. It's a I good t shirt. Usually that stuff that's screened, usually it comes off. Yeah. But holy smokes.
No. That'll stay for it. All right, let's talk about the.
Okay, Deb, before we go, we'll talk about what's going on, but I got to ask you, your worry was penalties. Thing.
Here's what I said. I said, what bothers me, and I hope it never happens, is that when they go into the playoffs, because the playoffs are tough, it's supposed to be tough war. They call it, I think Punch Imlach called it the battle. Hockey is a battle, and he meant the playoffs. I mean, the regular season, you know, you see the chintzy penalty. So, okay, Tim, tell us about
it. Again, we'll just say this whole, before we're going on, we'll give this that we're taping this, and that's an old word, on Sunday morning, so the Leafs play tonight, so there's one more game in the tournament, but not including the Leaf game tonight, there was 247 power plays.
Oh, I know.
And that's not including the round robin, that's just the elimination ones.
Oh, I don't know how you can play hockey. I don't see 14 power plays in one game. It's not hockey. I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Let's hope they did it in the opening. And
you know what the surprising thing is? They only scored 47 goals.
Good penalty killers.
Yeah.
Dad, I often, excuse me, but I ask you that question when you were coaching, or what is more valuable to a team, killing the penalties or having a good power play? Which is more valuable?
It seemed to me when you're on the bench, the players would get more excited and give the penalty killers, because they block shots and seem to be more excited when they kill penalties.
It was more of an accomplishment when they killed
the
penalty.
They seem to be more excited, guys coming off and everything. You know, they had the block shots and, well, some of the block shots.
But yeah. You had more of a expertise penalty killers.
I had two guys before the referee put his hand down on a penalty. And I had two guys ready to go.
Because you don't believe in the superstars killing penalties.
No, I believe like Sutter's and Dale Hunter, two successful guys. But I believe in role players. I a lot of people don't believe in role players. And what I mean by role players, you had penalty killers, and you had the power play. You didn't have guys. I see Marner and guys and everybody killing penalties and stuff like that. I didn't. Here's the way I figured it. Well, there's timeouts and everything now and everything, but here's the way I figured it, is that the guys have a regular shift, and they play the power play, and now they kill the penalty. Well, where does the other guys play? What do they feel like? Chopped liver sitting there the whole time? I never had a guy. I tried not to have a guy not play less than 8 minutes. I don't care if
well,
he
that's
was,
because, and you turned out you had 11, 20 goal, yeah. 20 goal scores.
Anyhow, I know how we get into that.
So we're just talking about how many penalty awards. But
right.
Before we get going, we got to talk about our sponsor, MyBookie.
New one, yeah.
Yeah, so it's MyBookie. You know, the hockey playoffs are back, and MyBookie online sports book is your one-stop shop for all your betting needs.
And don't forget, I told you if there was going to be an upset, it would be Price. Price would do it. Now, I don't know how he's going to the second round, but, I mean, he
right.
was fantastic.
So, yeah, so if you bet on Montreal winning the series, you would have made some good money. So, you know, you're looking at what's going on in the next round. It was kind of hard, this one, because there was a lot of funny games.
Yeah.
There was a lot of funny games.
Weber was great.
So if you join today, my bookie will match your first deposit dollar for dollar up to $1,000.
Are they going to do it the second round too?
Yeah, that's doubling the betting power. Just enter the promo code Grapevine when you sign up. Remember, my bookie, the terms are simple. You bet, you win, and they pay. So there's a lot of hockey to be watched.
Well, and you said, though, the key there, Ting, they bet you can bet on anything, which is really
interesting.
Yeah, we'll
have to get on the
president election and a lot of good
divorces,
stuff.
Divorces.
That's what, that's what we were talking
about.
And
there's
about
a lot of prop bets, too, if you like hockey, like, you know, under over and who's going to, you know, race to who's going to score three goals. There's lots of different prop bets and everything if you're interested.
Yeah, and there was a couple of guys score three goals, too.
Yeah.
So let's go over. New York Islanders and Florida, as if anybody cares, and I'm just kidding. The Isles won, but they only scored 7 goals in 4 games. And how do you pronounce that? Andy from Shawinigan.
Anthony Buvelli.
Yeah, he got 2 game winners, and, you know,
he played for Shawinigan.
Hey?
He played for Shawinigan.
Shawinigan, yeah, and in Quebec. And Markstrom was the difference in the Vancouver series. Let's face it, he had 9, I think he had over 9, and he had a stingy average too. But how about Quinn Hughes? I mean, this guy is unbelievable. He got 6, I think he was +2, and
he led the team in points.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he's a lock for Rookie of the Year.
And Kyle Merker's pretty good, but it'll be a battle between those two.
Yep.
And Arizona, and you picked Arizona and Nashville, yep. And I picked Nashville. I can't believe Nashville, but I can't believe, I still think they're the team, and Renee was the Colt, and I know he didn't play much, but...
But, you know, you look at Arizona, Kemper was the difference. Nashville had over 40 shots every game.
Yeah, 40 shots.
Most shots, if you look, they had the most shots of any team.
That must be discouraging.
Against.
Nashville had the Arizona had the most shots against.
Yeah, and Kemper was unbelievable.
Yeah, he's from Saskatoon.
And New York Islanders and the Carolina Hurricanes and the Jerks. I call them the Jerks. Boy, they really did it.
The bunch of jerks.
They really did.
You gotta admire them. Cindy and I were talking about that.
You have to
admire their. Media people.
PR guy.
Well, marketing guy.
Oh, you know about that, Cindy.
And like you said, bunch of jerks. And I think the next day they had t-shirts printing out, bunch of jerks. I mean, it was unbelievable.
There's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, Dad, making a lot of money on you. You should see the t-shirts people are buying for that just says you people. I had more people buy me t-shirts that say you people on them just because of your comments.
I should say more. Okay, now New York Islanders and Justin Williams, I think, had a lot to do. He didn't score many goals, but when it comes down to nitty gritty, never in the history of the game, I think he's got more playoff goals or number 7 goals.
You mentioned before that he didn't even go to training camp, and then he steps in and he's their best player.
You know, we must talk about the ambulance there.
We're talking about the Rangers.
New York Rangers.
You feel bad. They got forced, you know, they're out. And the funny thing was they beat them in the regular season.
Yeah, they were 4-0. So
remember the New York Rangers win the Stanley Cup. And you and Ron and all the Hockey Night in Canada guys are stuck at Madison Square Garden.
We are stuck. They have outside the Madison Square Garden, they have a ring of horses all the way around. Outside of that, they have the cars. They expect a riot, and there was nothing, but they expected it. And you couldn't get out. You could not. Taxis couldn't get in. Nobody could get in. And so I thought, how are we ever getting out here? And the bars closed at 2 o'clock, and it was getting pretty close. So I saw the ambulance there. I said to him, okay, how much would you take to drive us through the whole thing? And you know, he's a young guy, remember? And I said, well, how about we give you $150? Oh, he said, $150, I'll get you out for sure. So we took the money from all the Hockey Night in Canada. And Harry Neal probably isn't listening in Buffalo. He lives in Buffalo. But I remember I charged him double. Was he ever mad? And the guy put us in. He put the lights on. He took us right through the hotel.
Yeah.
It was nothing. You know, they opened up.
Money talks, just like anything.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I think the guy made. He was happy. He made $150.
Yeah.
And
you've been going to New York for a long time though. Like you've kind of seen the changes from New York.
Well, I someday we'll talk about Bobby. That's when Bobby cost me.
Were saying like just around Times Square and stuff. You used to go walking down and
oh yeah. When I first went to New York.
So this would have been in the '70s, right? Or 80s.
Well, I think it was in the '80s. Yeah. I was
still in the '80s. Oh, all right.
No, not when I coached the Bruins. The Bruins, we just flew in and flew out. Yeah. This was in the '80s when we had 3 or 4 days there. And I remember you'd walk along the street and a guy come up to you. And say, I like that watch. And what he was saying to you, if you value your life or you like that watch, you better give me some money. So we give him the money. You know, well, I didn't want any trouble. So, and I remember Bob Cole and I went down. We went down to get some shoes. and we went down the subway. What fools we were. Fools.
You and Bob Cole on the subway in New York.
Stupid. I mean,
I'd pay to see that. I would be entertaining.
Anyhow, we went down and there was 8 cars. And in the middle, there was one car full, jammed. The other ones were absolutely empty.
So that tells you something.
Well, what we're doing is...
That's called the herd mentality, like the herd safety. Yeah. Everybody gets together and...
Well, there's no way you'd... Remember that guy shot those...
Bernie Getz.
Remember he shot them. And that was at the time.
Yeah. That was the height of it, right?
Yeah. He felt threatened. He sat by himself hoping they'd come down and bother him. Yeah. He was a bad guy
to
bother.
There's a great documentary on that whole thing, how it went down.
He shot them. And anyhow, I couldn't believe it. So now I go down later, and it was the most crime-ridden city in the world. And Giuliani, I think he was the district attorney at one time, and then he became mayor. He went on the broken window policy. You had a broken window, they'd be there in a minute. And it became when we went down there the last time, there was a policeman on every corner, and it was the safest city in the world. And it was unbelievable. You wouldn't want to go down there now and go for a walk. Mm. I mean, it's sad the way it is. What is it? Shootings are up or 167?
Shootings are up. And, well, de Blasio is the mayor there now.
And Giuliani was a great guy, and he had made the safest city in the world.
Yeah.
And
so if we're talking about the police, we should talk a little bit about...
Mike McCormick.
Mike McCormick, yep.
He's retiring.
He's retiring. He's the head of the Toronto...
The police chief's retiring, too.
Yeah, police chief's retiring.
Well, everybody's getting out of the police.
Yeah, so Mike McCormick, he was the head of the police union in Toronto. Yeah,
so I was really upset with him. I have to tell a story about Mike McCormick. He was a great guy. His dad was a great policeman, too. The whole family is in the police. I remember he brought us down to the fighting one time. They had fighters, and they stopped that, but...
It was like the police versus the firemen or something like
that. No, I don't know. And the best fight in all is two women at the end. Holy tiny, did they throw. So anyhow, I phoned him. I was really upset. And some people remember the police shot a bear. And it showed it on the news and everything. And kind of made the police look bad. And
well, the bear came down. He was in Toronto.
Yeah.
And it was the weekend.
It wasn't a big bear either.
And they called up the Ministry of Resources. And it was the weekend. They had off. So the police had to deal with it. Had to deal with it, right?
And they had to deal with it, and they shot him. And I was really upset. And I was like most people upset. And then they killed an old dog.
Up in Collingwood.
Yeah, and you know, and I really like the police and everything. They're the best people in the world. And so I phoned him, and I'm giving him heck. And he's not paying. You know, he's listening. You know, you should kill that bear. And he said, what are we going to do? He says, if the bear gets down, and ripped the people, hurts the people, it'd be our fault. So anyhow, they killed a bear, and so I'm giving him heck, and he's listening. He's doing pretty good. So I have to go now. And I said, where are you going? He says, well, I have to go out in the lawn. There's a raccoon. He says, I have to take care of that. Oh boy, did I give it? You think it's funny? And you think it's funny? I don't think it's funny, and everything like that. But I have to mention the police. I knew I usually at the end, and I got the paper today, and I'm going to put on my glasses because I can't read. I can see good distance. Remember, Tim, I couldn't tell the players, but I can see. So I have to read. This is I think it's a page 3, I think, or something like that.
The Sun.
And the Sun, well, Sun, at least they put it in.
I know. You know, it's not in the other papers.
It made the paper, nothing, at least
they didn't make. And it says two police OPP officers. Doesn't mention their names. And they saved this guy's life. They saw a fire alarm on. They went in and they found this guy asleep, and they rescued the guy and got him out, or he would have died. They never mentioned his name. They never mentioned the guy that he rescued. They never mentioned the police officers, two OPP officers. What does it say? Dispatched to the scene. And they went back to see if there was anybody else, the police. And it was in, Brant County Detachment. And patrolling Dumfries Street in Paris, Ontario. I hope it's Paris, Ontario. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I just have to say something about the police. They are the best people in the world. Now, if this guy had to come at them with a gun or knife or something, and they had to shot him.
In self-defense.
In self-defense. their names would have been on, their pictures in the paper.
Oh, you
the
know
whole
they
deal.
Would have been their names then on, in yeah, there.
As one guy said, he said, join something else. Don't join the police if you want to be a hero, because we're never heroes. Every time we do anything good, it's never put in the paper. I just thought I'd put that in because
yeah,
they're my friend.
Well, Boston kind of got in a little bit of a trouble with the police. If you didn't read about it up here in Canada, Tuukka Rask, goalie for Boston, he went on a show and he wore a Boston police hat.
He just happened to be there and he put it on, yeah.
And he just got ripped.
Ripped to shreds.
Go figure that.
Wearing a Boston
media.
And then what happened was a certain reporter, I don't know who he was from, really ripped him on Twitter, and Brad Marchand jumped to Rask's defense and really called the guy out. And then Coyle,
a good Irish boy from Boston.
He was working out, and he had a Boston T-shirt on, and the Bruins took it. His Twitter.
No, with the police. Yeah, they had the Boston.
He had a
PD on it.
Yeah, he had a Boston police T-shirt on.
Right.
And when he was working out, and the Bruins took it down and photoshopped the logo out.
Cam Neely did.
Now, what Cam Neely said was,
in defense of Cam Neely,
it wasn't that he was anti-police. He was saying, we just don't want Coyle to get ripped in the media.
Isn't that sad?
Now, this is hard to believe. It makes sense, eh? Because Rask got
ripped.
So Cam Neely did that to protect Coyle. And the guy, the write-up in the paper or whatever it is, he said, can you imagine Cam Neely blocking out the police department? Do you think that we'd give them heck? Well, I mean, they'd already give Rask heck. Yeah. Why wouldn't you give Coyle heck? And Cam Neely did it to protect them, and Cam Neely got, so you can't win with the left-wing
that
media.
That is a no-win situation.
No-win situation. And boy, they've changed since that the Boston writers have changed since I was there. They were great guys. I think, and I still think they're great, but boy, they were great when I was there. I'd go on a tantrum and after a loss and say things, and I think, I'm finished. Yep. And next day, they were great. Yep.
I think a lot of sports reporters have changed.
Yeah,
I mean they all have. It's all different now. There seems to be, I don't know what the word is, but
I have to say something. I have to jump in here if you don't mind. You have nothing to do with this. I remember when I took over as a coach, like a fool, coaching the Mississauga Ice Dogs. And I remember our very first game was I was on the road. It was up in Sudbury, Ontario, Sudbury Wolves.
Yep.
And I was all excited and everything like that. I wore a great jacket. It was my best jacket, plaid jacket.
And we'll just say that it was the first time Sudbury had sold out their home opener in like 20 years.
20 years. The first time ever they had sold out. So they were sold out, and I knew, and I signed autographs, and I, in between periods before the game, and it was a madhouse, and it was a great hockey game, and I think we lost by one goal, and O'Sullivan, I think
Patrick O'Sullivan, yeah, hit the crossbar. We had a goalie pull, and he it was a half an inch, and we would have tied the game.
Yeah, we tied the game, and the people were going nuts, you know, when you have the goaltender out and everything, and everybody was happy. The crowd was happy. A nice jacket, signed autographs. And so I come out and I signed autographs after. And then I looked at the bus.
There were so many people around the bus.
The team bus.
The team bus. Because I think after that you went up to the Sioux after. Your next game was in St.
Yeah,
St.
we
Mary.
Sold out the Sioux too.
So
it was a trip up there. Two sellouts in a row.
So there were so many people around that you never would have.
I never got on the bus.
So you told Joe, say, just get the guys on the bus and then drive down a couple of blocks and pull over. And then you got somebody to get you in like a little I remember it was a yellow car. I think it was a Volkswagen.
Yeah, Volkswagen.
And you kind of hid down and they drove you out to the bus. And
so the point I'm trying to make, it was a great game. It sold out the first time. And the owner said that he wanted to thank Don Cherry for the first time they paid for all their training camps. So it was a great game. So Mary Ormsby, who's retiring now, she doesn't let her son play hockey. He won't say anymore. Anyhow, he doesn't let her son play or watch hockey. I think it was watch
hockey. Even watch hockey.
Watch hockey. She doesn't watch hockey because there's fighting.
Maybe
violence. Fighting was up this year in the playoffs, eh?
Yeah, there were 17 majors just in this round, and last year there was four total. in the whole playoffs.
There's some pretty good dandies, too.
Well, we'll talk about Jason in a couple minutes.
Oh, yeah. So, anyhow, I pick up, we get the Star, you know, and I think we went up to Sioux, like I said, yeah. And sold out and everything. So I get the Star. You know, it was a pretty good game. I was kind of disappointed we hit the post. It was brutal. It was like...
Mary Ormsby article was just...
Yeah, and it was like, I couldn't believe it. She
even commented on your suit.
She said the suit was bland.
That hurt you more than anything.
Yeah, I think what hurt me was it was a great suit, great check. And if they play that way, the rest of they'll never do anything. And we hit the post.
She said it was a dull game.
A dull game.
It was like
a
4-3 and over. Yeah, yes.
And I'm thinking, how could it be a dull game? We pull a goal. And the crowd went nuts.
Well, she's such an expert in hockey.
Yeah, well, yeah. And it was absolutely ridiculous. Anyhow, and I little did I know that I was, I've said, if she, you know, she's a pretty good writer. And holy smokes, did I get it that year. And people don't realize, well, I think if you should realize, and anybody in hockey realizes.
Yeah, they would know.
When you get an expansion team, you get your brains pounded out for the first couple of years to get the first round draft choices, which we did. And we won the East. Well, I didn't win it. I wasn't there. We had to sell. But the players that I got, we made trades and stuff. They made trades and everything. And they won the Eastern. What was it, Tim?
The Eastern Conference. We went to the Memorial. They went to the Memorial Cup or the OHL Championship finals.
Yeah, like
and,
we.
And I think Owen Sound beat them or somebody like
but
that.
But I was a coach. And I remember one. I remember that there was a sports writer for one of the papers come up and say, well, you don't keep your promises. And I'm thinking, geez, one thing I do is keep my promises. And she said that, you said you were going to get tracksuits so the guys wouldn't have to. I was going to get them for Christmas. We already had
them. I was the one involved in that. I was ordering their numbers, and because we had to wait to see for the cuts who you were going to cut, so I said, well, we'll make it for Christmas for their tracksuits.
I thought it'd be great for Christmas. And just ripped a shred. Anyhow, I just have to say that.
Well, it was almost like when you read the article, it was like she wrote it before the game. Like, seriously, like you're going, gee, the game
it had
is-
to be, because it was a good jacket, it was an exciting game, and the crowd was going nuts and the whole deal. And they said it was a bland game.
The bland game with the bland suit.
That was the thing with you and Dad with the OHL for your teams when you went around. You sold out on all the teams that you went and visited, but except for one, which was your own hometown.
Yeah, the only one we didn't sell out was Brampton.
They would sell out Oshawa to see you and everyone to see you. And well, then you come to poor old Mississauga.
I remember Belleville was just jammed one time. Yep. And I remember a fight. It was.
You only remember that Sudbury game, though, Dad? I got to tell you this. I know we're getting off talk, and we got to talk about the playoffs and everything. But there was one defenseman. It was a big kid.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember you kept...
And a good player.
He was a good player, could skate. And you said to him, don't run at players. Just...
For 4 weeks, they said, don't run it, guys.
Don't run it, guys.
Because that's what they want you to do.
And he goes, well, I got to run and hit guys. And that, you know, no, you you got to pick your spot. At first, couldn't have been 2 minutes into the game, into the thing. Guy's coming down. He runs at him. Guy walks around.
You know what he said to me?
He puts a top corner.
And, you know, and I said... I told you not to run it, guys. That's what they want you to do. He's, well, if I don't run and hit, I won't get noticed. And he says, you get noticed, all right, like you're a post out there. Man, I remember that guy. That guy was.
You know what I remember about him, too? I forget his name. But he was the guy that got cut at St. Mike's.
And Bill Carroll. Was it Bill Carroll?
Not Bill Carroll. He's the radio guy. It was a guy named Carroll, but it wasn't Bill. Bill's the host.
Ryan Carroll.
Yeah. He got cut.
It looked like a bloodbath.
A slaughterhouse on the ice. And the guy sticked him. You know what I think it was? I think it was either Keith or Jefferson that hit him.
Jumped at him, maybe.
Yeah, jumped and cut him. It looked
like a slaughterhouse.
So he took him out.
He took him off in the stretcher.
And he went to the dressing room. Well, no. What happened was they took him off the ice. They had two guys carry him off. And he was walking. And he lost so much blood that he fainted. And they had to take him out.
Yeah, that's what... Yeah.
And the referee, Carroll, said, well... I can't call
five. I can't call a 5 minute major on that. You can't call a 5 minute major on that.
He left half of his blood on the
you
ice.
You know what? I have to say something about that referee. His name, it was Carroll, eh?
It is. Cool.
He was a guy that in North Bay where.
Oh yeah, that was a
tell
funny
that
one.
Story. That was a good
I'm pretty sure he was there. So there was Patrick O'Sullivan was on the ice, and he did get under the referee's skins, but nevertheless.
And mine.
There was a the whistle blew, and there was a schmozzle.
I can still see it.
And so O'Sullivan pushed the guy, and the guy turned around and just drilled him. And Sullivan fell back into the boards, and he cut his lip and gave him a bloody nose. And he gave the guy 2 minutes for roughing, and he gave O'Sullivan 2 minutes for embellishment.
Blood's running down.
But those referees, when you visited the other team, they loved giving it to you, though, giving you penalties.
Yeah, and you know what? It's Gilmore, it happened the same thing. I have to tell you one more thing about that, Carol. This is funny. I coached a long time. We were trying to ice the puck. It was a close game. I never forgot this. And he would stand along the side of the boards and get hit by the puck all the time. We're trying to ice the puck. And he said, if you hit me once more with a puck, I'm giving you a 10-minute misconduct.
Hey, we're good. Well, get out of the way.
Get out of the way.
Okay, we'll tell one more with him. Was he gave our Russian, Igor, it was Radulov, his brother, who plays in Dallas. He gave him misconduct because he said something to him. So Dad said, what did he say? The guy goes, I don't know, it was in Russian. So Dad goes, well, how do you know what he said? I didn't like his tone.
it was unbelievable. And you know, and I have to say something. Jeff Hunt, he said, come down and watch the first game with Ottawa. Ottawa had a powerhouse with Brian Kilray. And he says, nobody will visit you in the box. I said, oh, okay. So I went there with Luba, and we sat, and we got beat 10-0. And they played that song again. What's that song?
I forget what it was. The one that goes, wee-hoo.
Oh, yeah, yee-haw. You know, yee-haw. Anyhow, I heard that 10 times. and we got hammered on that game. And he said, and he let all kids in. Oh. And I'm getting beat 10-0. My face is purple. And you know what? Chris Chelios played the next night and he come over and he could see that it was really, like I was one step away from a heart attack, 10-0. I mean, we had Brian put on defensemen up front, and they whack in goals. Brian did everything to keep the score.
I remember Brian. He said, "I make them pass the puck 5 times before they take a shot on net."
And he still scored.
And he goes, and one time someone had to shoot because it was too obvious, and the guy scores, and he comes back to the bench, and you can see Brian giving him shit. God, it was so funny. I go, they said, why is Brian yelling? I says, well, they're supposed to pass it 5 times before they take a
and
shot.
And Brian didn't want him. So anyhow, let's go along a little. Pittsburgh.
Well, this was a big one, the Pens and the Habs. This was when they won. You always said, watch out for Carey Price.
And Shea Weber was +5 and 2 goals. But Montreal can't score on the power play, though. I mean, they're brutal.
Yeah.
But Jeff Petrie. Got 2 game winners. I love to see that defenseman put it in.
Well, Sherratt and Byron, they've led in the first round +6. They were the biggest plus minus. But the one thing we talked a little bit about that, everybody was talking about Pittsburgh that they didn't do very well in the power play.
No.
But their road power play was 24th in the league. There was only six teams worse.
With Malkin.
And so their power play on the road percentage was the same.
Why?
It
didn't make any sense.
They're tired from killing those penalties.
Calgary and the Jets. I tell you, and you got to feel sorry for the Jets. I mean, you know, 9 regulars out, and Seifele out. I mean, he is the playoff guy of all time.
Yeah.
But Talbot came through for him. He was the guy. And
what'd you think of Beaulieu going after Luchik?
Well, they both went after each other, and he stood up. He didn't win the fight, but I'll tell you, he stood up. And Lucic, I'm glad to see he's finally.
Well, he got a goal.
He was their best player. If he keeps going like he did when he played for Boston, he'll be all right. So, but the Jets, you got to feel sorry for him. 9 regulars out, and there we go, Chicago, and we got to hurry us here in Edmonton. Jonathan Taves, I told you, people. He was on, it was Crawford, their goaltender. But Jonathan Taves is on a mission. And I'll tell you right now, boy, he was ready to go. He was on a mission. He had that jump. That's what McDavid is still the best hockey player in the world.
Yeah, he's leading the thing. But it's funny, though. You look at that. If you look at the statistics, which shows you it can lie, they're dead even. And yeah. all the statistics, they're dead even except for like just a little, the goalies just a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, they was it four?
Well, in the past shows, you had said that McDavid might have his nose bent out of shape because of him not being up for any awards.
Do
you think
I have to go back and say the Calgary thing. Sam Bennett. Boy, did he play good? I mean, he's from Strathern, Ontario. That was his boy. He shone. He to me, he was their best player.
Yeah, we remember watching him with the Toronto Marlies. He was. Funny thing was, like, he wasn't one of their best players when we were watching him. But he was good and he was consistent. But then he just took it junior and he just took right off.
In that game, he had five shots. I think he was plus three. But anyhow, we have to get to the game that's going on tonight. We have to talk about the Leafs. I mean, that was unbelievable. Well, first of all, when they lost 3-0, I thought it was unbelievable. And I wonder how many people turned them off when they were losing 3-0, because they looked brutal. Let's face it.
Well, it was funny because I went on Facebook and Twitter. It was about halfway through the third person. Everybody say the Leafs suck, and I do. That's it. I'm never watching this team again. They're such a dude. Fired Dubas. Keith's a jerk, and then all of a sudden,
they're a hero. Yeah. So imagine they're losing 3-0, and they come back and win, and then they're winning. I mean, it's unbelievable that the 3-0 score that in the playoffs, that's pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you were asking Cindy like. What happens?
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, when you're up 3-0, is it a mindset or what happens?
Happens is when you're a coach and they play Katie Bar the Door, that's what, as soon as I saw, I knew Tortorella did not want them to do this, but they do it anyhow. And there's five guys back. Well, then you give the other team, they got nothing to lose.
So a coach can't control that.
I don't care what you say. When you're up 3-0, you figure, it's all over and everything like that. And once they played Katie Bar the Door, and they take off. And the same thing has happened with the Leafs when
they were up 3-0.
When they were up 3-0, Columbus is up 3-0. They started to play Katie Bar the Door, and the Leafs started to come on, and they played run and gun. And if you let them play run and gun, the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's the way they should play all the time. They should play desperate like that all the time. And the key as a coach is to get your team to play desperate all the time, like Taves did in that one series. But anyhow.
But what did you talk about Jason, talk about the ace tag zone.
That was a good write-up. Kevin McGrath had the star?
Yep.
Yeah. Something about anyhow, the question he asked me, he said, about Jason Spezza. Jason been in the league a long time. He hadn't been in many fights. He's a big guy. He knew he had to get something going. He had to get this team going, spark them up a little, and he dropped the gloves. And I thought he'd just grab on. They were throwing pretty good.
Yeah. And the funny thing was when I was watching it, it was like, is that Jason? Remember the time, I think we told this once before, that when he was with the Ice Dogs, he wouldn't shoot the puck.
He's the only guy in the world that scored. He was mad. So I said to Tim, I said, should I go down and tell him to shoot the puck?
Because it was first two periods. He'd be walking in cold turkey.
And he'd pass around. He had a bad habit. You know who used to have that habit was Ty Domi's Max. Remember
Max?
Max.
People don't realize Jason Spezza was our first round pick all this. Yeah. And so
he had a good fight. And so anyhow, I went down, I said, shoot the puck, and I really reamed him. So at the first minute out, he gets the puck, and did he blast it, he knocked it, and he was mad. He pushed the guys away.
Yeah, he scored. I'm trying to think of that. The goal he made the National Hockey League, it was against Kingston, and it hit his glove and put his glove right in the net.
I mean, he really can shoot.
And he skated right to the bench and sat down.
Yeah, and he was mad. So, but anyhow,
he doesn't get mad about too many things. So I tell my Jason Spezza story about his hockey card.
I don't know. Go ahead.
I hope we can
tell him the thing.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Okay, so edit that out. No.
No, go ahead.
So I'm in charge of doing the hockey cards for the Mississauga Ice Dogs. So you know how you ask questions, your favorite meal, your favorite car, and all that. So I thought I'd ask the players, what is your pet peeve? So I get all the answers back, and Jason's answer is blank. Okay. So I said, Steven, my cousin, Steven, who's the assistant coach, I says, go ask Jason what his pet peeve is. So he goes down, and Jason didn't know what a pet peeve was. So he had to tell him, just write down things that piss you off. Oh. And he says, I can't think of anything.
He was kind of a happy-go-lucky
guy. He was a happy-go-lucky guy. Nothing bothered him. And so
He saw that the team needed a spark. And one of the couple of players said afterwards that that's what got them going was
And that's what Keith said. He says Jason wasn't going to let our season end the way it was ending.
Yeah, because he knows it's a good last kick at the can. This could be his last kick at the can.
But you were saying when you were watching it, you were kind of like, "Is that Jason? Like
that Jason?
That Jason?" And it reminded you of the time you were telling me when Peter McNabb.
Oh yeah, Peter McNabb. I had a big centerman, and he's from he scored 43 goals, so he could really score. He was our goal scorer. He was about 6 foot four.
Yeah, you always said, Peter, I have a team of bull terriers, but you're my lab.
Nothing wrong with lab.
Nothing wrong with labs.
We had Jean Rattel. Anyhow.
Yeah, but you like teasing Peter. Peter.
I like Peter. He was like, every coach has a kind of a whipping boy, and everybody knew it was funny. I remember what would they call those guys that were in the airports all the time? Used to be in the
Hare Krishnas.
Oh yeah.
Well, yeah. People don't realize. Like I asked my wife Ling. I said, "Do you know what a Hare Krishna was?" And she didn't. And they were kind of these. I think they were Hindu, and they wore robes and they shaved their heads and they'd sing in the airports and they'd hand out pamphlets. Every major airport, they were in there. Like people today didn't do it. And then eventually they kicked them out, right?
Well, they had to stop them.
Well, even Harry Sinden used to pick on Peter. Remember with the iota?
Oh,
that was his nickname.
That was another story. I'll have to tell that story someday. But anyhow. I found one of their books, big, thick book, a Hare Krishna book. The guy must have left it. So I told all the guys, hey, where am I really going to get it? We'll have a meeting, and I'll give him this, you know. So I had the meeting, and I said, on behalf of the Hare Krishna, I want to present to you, I know your facts of life, the way you feel and everything. And the son of a gun, they must have told him. He said, well, thanks very much, Don. I needed that.
Yeah.
Remember,
he got into the fight.
Oh, yeah, he got in the fight.
He fought a guy. It was in Cleveland. And he fought a guy named Len Frigg. From Lethbridge.
Yeah, I never met Len Frigg. I remember him. He was a pretty tough guy. It was in front of the net, and Peter got in a fight. Who was that at the end? Somebody said that's Peter. We couldn't believe. We didn't care whether he won or not. That he got into a fight.
I remember he played with Terry O'Reilly. I remember Terry come roaring down.
Yeah,
just to make sure.
Peter
did pretty good.
Yeah, and I have to talk about his wife. What was his wife's name?
Diane,
yeah. And she was quite an athlete. She was.
She taught us all tennis lessons. And
She was a real athlete. And we beat out Philadelphia, and we're getting off the plane, and she was, you know, the wife's greeter said, Rose never did. The funny thing is, Rose never did. Oh, kids, I guess. So anyhow, she's standing there, and she says, that was a great game. I said, yeah, I'll coach them again. She hit me right over the head with a purse. I think we've gone long enough.
Again, tonight is the Leafs game and the Blue Jackets. So we'll be talking about that. I think we'll go into more depth of that series once we know who wins.
Yeah, see the winner. Boy, that's going to be exciting, and I know we're doing that in the morning. And
okay, and again, we want to thank MyBookie. So remember, go to mybookie.ag if you're looking to do some betting on the hockey this upcoming week. And remember, if you join MyBookie and you first deposit up to $1,000, they'll match it if you enter promo code Grapevine. And remember, their terms are simple. You bet, you win, they pay.
Yeah, a lot of people... You know, I said at the start there was going to be an upset. The upset would be the Pittsburgh-Montreal series, and because of a Price. Now I don't know how Price is going to play. He did not play good last year. He played okay for Montreal, but I'm not going to bet against Pittsburgh. So I did pick Pittsburgh to win the series. But if there ever was going to be an upset, and there was an upset, Weber was fantastic, as I said. And so I bet Pittsburgh, and I lost.